Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother,
dig it.
Solid. Right on.
All right, and welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Monday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Hey, good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
Well, I'm all right. I'm sitting out here. I'm en route to Cape Cod, so I'm doing this from our famous Mitchell International Airport.
Well, Sandy, be careful, man. Yeah. There's going to be a deluge of rain. The heavens are going to open up, huh?
I just heard that, an inch an hour or something.
An inch an hour. When I got up this morning, they were projecting 6 inches of rain for Milwaukee.
Yeah. I know. I live on the river. I'm hopeful that the river doesn't decide to swallow my property.
Sandy, that's a lot of rain. So on average, when we're talking about that much rain, and we're talking about a time when, you know, the ground has not had rain for months, it's not going to just accept that rain. The ground is like cement. So where's all this rain going to go?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's going to be horrible. So, man, be safe when you're up there, right?
Well, I'm going to be up in the clouds. That'll be okay. If I take off, then I think I'm escaping.
Yeah.
Leaving the problems for others to handle. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, be safe, man. Be safe.
So let's do this.
Let's do this. The debate with Donald Trump in Milwaukee, whether or not Donald Trump comes to the debate or not. Let's say you were a guy who was advising Donald Trump, Sandy.
Yeah. First of all, that's an entirely unlikely scenario, but go ahead.
Would you advise him to participate in the debate or not?
Well, you know, he's probably right when he says that people leading by this much have only something to lose and not much to gain from debating. You know, he thinks he's good at debating. I've watched him and could never understand why the public appreciated his approach to denigrating everybody on stage and going through histrionics. But, you know, he seems to be able to handle himself in a manner that at least his audience likes in the debate. So I think it's kind of a coin flip. And I suspect that ultimately, he'll have trouble giving up the podium and giving up a 20 million audience and letting everyone else have it. So my suspicion is he'll show up, whether or not it's the perfect idea or not.
You know, Sandy, you're, as always, on point. Six of one, half a dozen of the other. He clearly does not need to debate any of those people. But as you just stated, he can't resist that, can he?
I don't think he can. I think he's like a moth to a flame, right? 20 million people on TV, he won't be able to resist the potential attention that he can get from that.
You know, a guy who's got over a 30-point lead, and you know the other people, they want him there, right? I mean,
well,
everybody's
sure.
going to be attacking him, huh?
Yeah, everyone will want him there in that they think they can have a potential. I guess I haven't read whether Chris Christie is qualified yet or not.
Yeah, Chris Christie is qualified.
He has qualified.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think he's eager to take on Chris Christie, because I think Christie both has backbone and is pretty glib and has a quick mouth. So I suspect that of all the people that might be debating him, Christie might be his most difficult opponent.
Oh, and the one guy who's not going to play up to him, you know.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. But Sandy, you know, I wanted to go here because this to me is really an amazing thing, Sandy, and so it's about, again, the state Supreme Court, And Robin Voss is talking about what is the word I'm looking for?
He's talking about impeaching.
Yeah, impeaching. Sandy,
impeaching
where,
her if she doesn't recuse herself.
Yeah, Sandy, where are we at with this man?
Well, that's like that. That is pure politics. You know, during and before her run for office, she did talk about her position with respect to feeling that the state was gerrymandered, that the court was stacked. And so there, I suppose there's an argument that she's expressed some pre-decisional bias associated with it. That would be the basis for the impeachment. But all of the candidates did it, and all of the conservative candidates in the past have made pretty clear what their positions were on a variety of issues that would get to the court. So, you know, I think if they follow through on this, this will just be proof that impeachment has become weaponized, and it is now just a political tool, and it's not a special tool reserved for special consequences.
So, Sandy, let's say they go through with the impeachment. Can they remove Justice Protasiewicz?
Yeah, I believe the impeachment process doesn't involve any sign-off by Evers. And so impeachment is a process that is purely the result of the action of the Assembly and the Senate.
So they can remove her.
So I think the process of impeachment could move forward, and they could remove her. Yeah.
So Sandy, I mean, as unbelievable as that sounds, the Republicans do have a majority. And so to think that, do you think that would go, do you think the Senate would approve of that?
Well, the Senate has a supermajority.
Yeah, supermajority.
67.
But do you think
I don't know. I mean, I hope the Senate would grab a hold of itself and decide that they're exceeding the bounds of not only political decency, but sound public policy by pursuing an impeachment of a sitting justice based on an ideological disagreement.
So where, let's say, because you don't know. I mean, we're in these waters, shark infested waters, Sandy, where things that we would have never, when you were, you know, there with former governor Knowles. I mean, this would have never even
Lucy.
Lucy, I'm sorry.
Lucy.
Yeah, this That's would have right. never even been thought of, right? I mean, you couldn't even conceive.
This wouldn't have been thought of 10 years ago, and much less that long ago. No, this is, you know, the whole concept of impeachment has gotten weaponized. I mean, we went decades and decades without any presidential impeachment proceedings. The one against Nixon was the first one since, I believe, Andrew Johnson, immediately after the Civil War. So, you know, we had gone, you know, damn near a century without an impeachment proceeding, and then Nixon came along, and that was one that actually begged for of the process, and it didn't even happen because of his willingness to resign. Then we have Clinton. And the use of impeachment there, and you know, from then on, it's been Katie bar the door.
You know, but Sandy, it's one thing if something is so egregious that it's warranted. Isn't it another thing altogether because of your disagreement with just your disagreement with someone who has a right to their opinion to subject them and the society to that?
Well, I said, no. I mean, and, you know, absolutely not. It can't possibly be an appropriate use of that kind of a tool. The founder has always conceived of impeachment as being something that was for essentially acts that were extreme. You know, the kind of things where the public, there would be a hue and cry from the public were there not to be an action taken to remove the official for essentially high crimes, misdemeanors, you know, actions against the interests of the government.
You know,
and so, you know, we've eroded that down to the point where now it's just a tool in the toolbox, in the political toolbox. And in particular in Wisconsin, you know, she talked about gerrymandering, but she didn't talk about a specific case that was before her. And the case that will come before her will now be a specific set of facts that she will have to review. And, you know, I would guess that any justice or potential justice would say that there was some configuration of the maps that they would view as being too extreme. And she took issue with the prior decisions of the Supreme Court. And of course, that's been done as well by people who are either running for office or in the process of being nominated to take issue with a prior case. That doesn't mean that they won't abide by the rules of law with respect to jurisprudence and precedents.
So, Sandy, those of us who don't have, you know, your legal acumen, we are fearful. Because we know on the other side of this, Robin Voss is not saying this without having some jurisprudence person on the other side challenging and saying maybe this can happen. Is it safe to say that?
Well, like I said, it's become political strategy. You know, politics has become the ability to do what you can. You know, why are they doing it? Because they can. And the fact is that with the voting, with the disproportionate voting power that the Republicans have in the state house right now, they can do this.
And so, Sandy, knowing that they can do this, they're not concerned about the long-term fallout. And I don't mean just for now, but the damage, that irrevocable damage, Sandy, that will be done if they move forward. They're only looking short-sighted. Is it safe to say that?
Well, I mean, they're obviously trying to badger her into recusing herself to create a more likely possibility that the decision of the court will be more favorable to the districting maps as they would prefer them to be. But, you know, I would say that politics has developed a very short time horizon in the way they look at things. I mean, look at the process we have on the national debt and the authorizing the debt ceiling. That's clearly a process. Is very short-sighted and very damaging.
All right, hold the thought, Sandy.
It's a regular event.
Hold the thought. Yeah. We've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. You can join us. We'll be right back.
With us at Civic Media, we're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies this afternoon with scattered thunderstorms likely. Highs level off around 67. Northeasterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight. Lows dip down to about 55. Cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 76. Tomorrow, bright sunshine expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
See trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself,
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And, Sandy, once again, you were...
That was Satchmo with nostalgia, right?
Yeah, absolutely was, man.
That's,
you know.
That's Make America Great Again. So what you were saying, I'm sorry.
So no, let me say this, Sandy. Man, I love having you on so much because you really point out things that a lot of times we as Americans don't think about, but they really are things that we should be thinking about. And you know, you've been saying all along that we're spending all this time thinking about all these other things and what the American people need and the things that we should be thinking about, we are not. And I never will forget, several years back, you and I were talking, and you said, and I've never forgotten it, America does not have a plan to address real issues that are going to overtake her in the coming years. And for whatever reason, we just have not decided to sit down and plan those things out. One of the things, Sandy, is elder care. The price of elder care soars as demand increases baby boomers' age. Now, you talk about daycare. You talk about all these other things, younger people. But I've been saying for a long time, elders and are aging. Baby boomers are aging so fast. And many don't have the financial resources to take care of themselves. And the increase in the cost and the demand of senior care has increased over 25%, Sandy, since 2019. Sandy, isn't that a crisis waiting to happen? I mean, what are we waiting on?
I think this part of the problem is we have these campaigns for president that now consume a year and a half of our time and attention. And it's the shiny object that takes our attention away from all these impending problems. The elder care problem runs exactly parallel with the Social Security issues. And the solvency of Social Security. It's all about the same problem, the aging of America. But furthermore, it kind of relates to Social Security in that, you know, we moved away from having a Social Security that actually provides a full and complete retirement potential with the 401k kind of arrangements. And whereas when you and I got jobs, pensions came along with health care and salaries when we got a full-time job. That doesn't happen anymore. People are expected to fund their own pensions. And every analysis shows that the vast majority of people who have 401ks do not have enough money to retire because their 401ks are way insufficient to support a retirement.
Well, you know, Sandy.
So we've got people who... The people who are now moving into retirement at a rapid clip, the baby boom generation, some of whom won't even qualify for Social Security, many of whom will, but it's going to be a very tight process. And then elder care, which is essentially a long-term care problem, which is not covered by Medicare, right? So we've got a whole area of healthcare issues that are absolutely probable with the elderly, which are not covered by government support, which is long-term care.
Well, you know, Sandy, and clearly we, as you stated, that no pensions. Pensions, if nothing else, Sandy, are they're a stopgap, and they really will make it possible for you to make it through, right? I mean, not with the bells and whistles, but you add the pension to Social Security and you can make it through. There's a way for you to make it through. But ever since they took away the pensions, and now people are relying solely on Social Security. And Sandy, we're talking about people who really work their lives, Sandy. We're not talking about freeloaders here, right? We're talking about people who work at... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, and you can go to Walmart or Costco or any place and see the people greeting you and realize that there are plenty of people who are in their retirement years who are continuing to work for the very reason that, that they need to.
You know, Sandy, we've got to go to a break. Bill, I see you. We'll get you on the other side, but I don't want to get away from this right away, Sandy, because there's some other aspects of it that we, if the society doesn't want to look at this, and they're not going to talk about this in the debate, you know what I mean? It's not going to be a major conversation. But that's where we're missing out on these things. Got to go to a break.
Georgia, the whole day through, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
Georgia on my mind.
I said, Georgia.
The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, as we were talking about just that issue with these baby boomers.
Elder care.
Elder care, Sandy. And the massive impact, Sandy, that this is going to have on healthcare, right? I mean, it's not just healthcare; it's housing, Sandy. It's
well, it's staffing. You know, it right now there's a shortage of staffing for health, for elder care, and we haven't even had the tsunami hit us yet. You know, it's on the horizon. So we have a problem with staffing. We have a problem with physical facilities, and we have a problem with funding. So it's pretty, you know, you name the issue, and it's a problem.
You know, Sandy, and it's upon us, right? This is not something that we're talking a decade away, right? Or two decades away.
No.
It's right on us.
No, the tsunami bells are ringing. You know, the warning is there, and it's going to hit. You know, it's inevitable. You know, it's just a matter of math.
Oh, okay, but Sandy, this is
mathematics, not projections.
But this is the part of it that I just can't understand. The people that we have in both parties know this. They're not. It's not like, Sandy, they're not aware of this. It's the same thing with the border crisis. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, the leadership of our parties are in fact all elderly, so they've reached elderliness. The problem, I suppose, America has is they've all reached elderliness in a state of affluence, and so they don't experience the pressure or the fears that the American public feels. But you know, it's like healthcare. You know, everyone in Congress has wonderful health insurance,
right?
And they don't really understand the threat that people live under with respect to someone in their family getting sick and not being able to afford it.
So, Sandy, the reason that's mind-boggling to me is, as these people run for office, Republicans were just in Iowa, and they were hearing from the mouths of the people we're talking about. Were they not listening?
Well, maybe they listen. I'm not sure that there's very much noise made. That Tom, Dick, and Mary do a very good job of explaining the situation of the median family in America or the median elder person in America. All of that stuff seems to get buried in the wash in the political dialogue that goes on. Here we've got debates and dialogue going on. I can almost assure you that almost nothing that relates to that median family in America will be discussed in the Republican debates. Healthcare, the issues that are that they face, a living wage, non-living wage for full-time employment, no healthcare, pensions that don't exist, and education. Yeah, that's to the extent education is going to be discussed. It'll be discussed with respect to the curriculum that's going on in schools, and it'll be social issues, not issues associated with the quality or the cost of education.
So Sandy, what we're talking about is baby boomers who in many instances are worse off than their parents were. I mean that's kind of what we're talking about.
Well, actually, I will say this. The baby boom generation is clearly a generation that for its entire time on Earth have been better off than their parents. They might actually be better off than their parents were as they reached elder status. The care for elders had been in the past basically at-home care.
Right.
And I suspect what's happened is that the current nucleus of families doesn't provide at-home care, doesn't provide the promise of at-home care for the elderly today. And so the elderly are going to have a serious problem. But the elderly that are really going to have a serious problem if we don't do something about this are the millennials and Gen X and the generations that follow the baby boomers, because they've not had the same quality of life as the baby boomers throughout their whole tenure.
You know, Sandy, the thought of the magnitude of this issue and this problem and the fact that it's not on the front burner look, I see people in my walk of life who really are, they don't know where the next meal is coming from. And you multiply that about the things that I read in different states and cities, and man, so, and even if they weren't able to, Sandy, save for the future, and everybody has not been able to, we still, as a nation, don't we have a responsibility to at least make sure that in these final years that they don't wind up on the street? Can't we do that?
Well, I mean, the obviously it's going to be left to families. Politics, one of the problems and one of the reasons I think that the world is swinging towards autocracy and why we seem to be swinging in that same direction is the gridlock of the democratic process as it plays out in a variety of countries. And we're the biggest of the democratic countries. And we've had gridlock with respect to all of our clearly identified problems. The problem of immigration and the border, right? We've had that problem since the year 2000. We've just kicked the can down the road.
Right, right.
The problems associated with Social Security and its solvency going forward, we've kicked that can down the road. The problems of education and the cost of higher education, well, our solution was student loans, and now our solution is going to be to give some forgiveness of student loans, but we're just kicking the problem down the road. The problem of the cost of higher education continues.
Right.
And so we just kick every problem down the can down the road. And you can almost, I think healthcare was the first time we tried to bite off a problem and deal with it. And there, the compromise process required by K Street and all the lobbyists and special interests caused Obamacare to be, less than ideal.
So
it certainly has accomplished a significant thing, which is that pre-existing conditions are now covered, which was a huge problem before. And I think we've developed a national outlook that maybe healthcare ought to be available.
Sandy, all of those things that you just announced on top of one another, and you stack those, pile those things on top of one another, and you can't afford to not address them because they're going to swallow up the budget of this nation eventually.
Well, the budget, yeah, clearly the budget is swallowed, and now because we also the other can we kick down the road is any analysis of our foreign policy and our military expenditures, and that just gets a free pass. So we have all of these problems that we are facing and ignoring, and meanwhile we can't spend enough money on our right. military. You know, the president asks for 850 and he gets 880.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It's yeah, yeah. So you know, the Congress can't pile enough on with respect to that, and so you know, and you know, we infrastructure. Well, that's a pork barrel kind of a thing, and so that pork barrel passed, and so we're able to address a bunch of physical issues in the country associated with infrastructure because they immediately turned into jobs and profits. But are we addressing any of these underlying problems? No, we're just kicking the can down the road, and it's going to lead to a serious problem. Either we're going to start addressing them, or we're going to end up with a government that we don't want.
All right, let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. I did call, picked up the phone when you were talking about the weaponization of impeachment. And now you're talking about...
Go ahead. You can address the weaponization of impeachment. Go ahead.
Well, I heard Sandy said that that it hasn't been already, is my question, over a phone call and over the president saying, go in peace on January 6th. It's been weaponized already, Sandy, if you didn't know. But the future impeachment of Joe Biden is going to be for a real reason. And he's taken money from China and three other countries under the table. As far as what's going on right now with us avoiding dealing with Social Security and education, well, the president, Biden, tried to buy votes with the youths of today, this past election, and demonizes responsible politicians trying to address the issue of education
did
and
you,
Social
did you,
Security.
Did you hear Sandy and I both said both parties are guilty of kicking the can down the road? You think only the Democrats are the ones who have kicked the can down the road? No Republicans?
Well, if you remember, Mandela Barnes and the accusations of Ron Johnson wanting to cut Social Security, Ron Johnson was being responsible and trying to address the issue of Social Security because it's running out of money. And Sandy talked about kicking the can down the road. Well, the Democrats are better at that, Earl.
Where is the Republican response to what we're talking about? What Republican is speaking out on that? This is not Democrat or Republican. It's both. And what Sandy is saying clearly to everybody who's listening outside of you is that this is a problem that our nation has to address, not any one particular political persuasion.
Well, your candidate, Mandela Barnes, ran against
Mandela Barnes is not even in office, man. What are we talking about?
Ron Johnson was trying to address it, Earl.
Why doesn't he address it now? Okay, Mandela's not there. Why doesn't Ron Johnson address it now?
He is trying to address it. They're trying to. They have had committee. I've seen it on C-SPAN. Okay, they are trying to address it, but they're demonized for it. But in 2033, Social Security is going to be automatically cut by 25%. So we either address it now and not try to buy votes with plans that we already have debt up to our eyeballs for kids that are born today. They're trying to address it, but they're demonized.
All right, okay. Listen, CJ, we've got to go to a break. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, I'll let you respond on the other side, 844-967-2789. It's Monday with Sandy Williams on the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
Reach up to 76.
The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay. The glory that was Rome is of another day. I've been terribly alone and forgotten in Manhattan. I'm going home to my city by the bay. I left my heart in San Francisco.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. I mean, Monday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, it is that dialect and that conversation that CJ has that prevents us from moving forward with the real things that need to be discussed, Sandy. They're not as simplistic as he makes them. And yet there are people who are, you know, in Congress and the Senate who think along the same lines that he does, Sandy, and that's why we can't get moving. We've got this gridlock.
When you take each issue and address it singularly and don't make all the hard choices. You know, the whole problem is that we have hard choices to make. We're spending money, lots of money in some segments, and we need to spend more money in other segments, and we have a finite amount of money. So we have to begin to pick and choose both where we spend our money and how we raise our money. And so when we talk about cutting Social Security, when we talk about Ron Johnson talking about a solution to Social Security, sure, he was talking about a solution to Social Security. Of course, one solution to Social Security is to eliminate it altogether. That isn't a solution, obviously, because it's contrary to the social interest and social policy, and it's contrary to all kinds of things that would be important to our country and its economy and what we stand for. So we need to solve Social Security, but the solution is not just to cut it. We need to solve for education. And the solution is not just to forgive student debt. The solution is to find a different system for education that assures education is affordable and available of all the sorts of education we need. We need to solve for health care, and we need to solve for the fact that we spend 50% more per capita than any country on health care, but we also have to solve for availability, accessibility, and outcomes. All of these things require that we put everything into one pot and talk about them and make trade-offs, and also look at and evaluate how much we spend on defense. So all of those things are what's necessary, and I don't care which party does it, but both parties need to do it, and we need to have actual dialogue. We can't talk about issues one at a time. CJ wants to talk about them one at a time and point fingers at whether or not Mandela Barnes was attacking Ron Johnson for, quote, solving Social Security. Ron Johnson's solution to Social Security wasn't going to be socially adequate for all of the elderly that we're now talking about in the beginning of the show, the elder care problems and the problems of the elderly. So you know, we have to look at these things and evaluate them and make hard choices, not easy choices.
You know, Sandy, it's kind of understandable to me that, you know, a guy like CJ and others who see it through the prism that he sees it through can't comprehend the magnitude of what you just said, because it has to be collective, and that he can hide behind Democrats are no good, Republicans are the smartest. But that mentality is not going to get us out of any of this. It's name calling, well, right? I mean, the name calling.
I mean, it started on this, on today's call, with respect to weaponizing impeachment. Well, you know, of course, both parties have, and it was weaponized already. It was weaponized when it was used on William Clinton. It's been weaponized all the way along. The question is whether there's much cause behind the use of it. There would certainly have been cause with respect to the Nixon situation, and the nature of the investigation of Donald Trump was certainly different than the nature of the investigation associated with William Clinton in terms of what was being investigated. But you know, yeah, I have no problem with agreeing that the weaponization of impeachment has been a bipartisan thing, but that has nothing to do with the fact that it shouldn't be, and it shouldn't be used that way going forward, and we shouldn't talk about it. And the same is true with respect to all these other issues. And to only try and find partisan blame is the way we just terminate discussions altogether, and we'll never reach solutions.
You know, Sandy, and that more than anything else is why it's so frustrating, because I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, there are people who need these things you and I are talking about on both sides, right? Americans do.
Yeah.
It's not just Democrats want handouts. There are people who are struggling who call themselves Republicans. There are people who are struggling who call themselves Democrats. But what they have in common, Sandy, is Americans, right? We're all Americans. And so these issues are American issues. They're not Democrat or Republican issues.
Well, and in fact, government subsidies, it's, to some extent, when you subsidize a human being, we call it welfare and a handout. When we subsidize the chip manufacturing industry to the tune of $80 billion, it's an important kind of a public policy. When we subsidize the oil and gas industry with very generous depletion allowances that skew taxes and the amount of taxes they pay way away from them to others, we don't also look at it that way, or farm subsidies, or all of the other ways that government intervenes on behalf of individuals or private interests to support them. So, you know, it's all about how we characterize what we're doing. But the fact is that massive parts of the American economy receive direct benefits from government. And many of those who are receiving benefits would consider themselves conservatives. And they, however, readily accept the tax benefits and others that they receive.
Hey, Sandy, man, thank you very much as always. Have a safe trip.
Yeah.
We'll see you when you get back.
See you on Friday.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, everybody who made the show go. Thanks to Gilbert Brown and for a great conversation. I'll be back on tomorrow. Thank you, Calvin. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Look out for the rain. See you later.
Go. Your golden sun will shine.